Hi, it's Mike Church, founder of the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel. Maybe you didn't know this, so let me clue you in. We are a listener-owned radio enterprise, meaning we're the little guy, the underdog, a David in a stadium full of fake news Goliaths. So, in exchange for your listening to this awesome preview of one of our shows, Puddle's Pity Party, promise me you'll download our free app and use it to listen to that show when it's live. And number two, consider joining us and becoming a paying Founders Pass member by going to crusadechannel.com and clicking the join button at the top of any page. Now that's not asking too much, is it? So go ahead, relax, and enjoy the following feast of original programming exclusively here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Obamacare repeal collapses as Senate GOP blocks health bill. Now, the headline is a crafty one, isn't it? As Senate GOP blocks health bill. I thought the GOP ran the Senate. I don't know, maybe I'm mistaken, but I thought they had a majority, what's called a majority in the Senate. So they blocked themselves. And I had a employer one time who was a bit of a loon who informed me after he had terminated me. Said, no, you can't go fire unemployment because you fired yourself. That I fired myself. Yeah, you fired yourself. How did I do that? Anyways, I'll skip the explanation. How can a GOP block itself? Well, maybe we should explore the story a bit. A months-long effort by Senate Republicans, but this is just such a scam. I mean, come on. Did anyone actually believe that this was going to occur? And that the hundreds of billions of dollars, if not trillions of dollars, that are now at stake here, were just going to be surrendered by the crony capitalist, quasi-communist that are benefiting so mightily from this. I didn't. A months-long effort by Senate Republicans to pass health legislation collapsed Friday, early this morning, while you were sleeping, as I said, after GOP Senator John McCain joined two of his colleagues to block a stripped-down Obamacare repeal bill, what they called a skinny repeal. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said on the Senate floor after the vote, "I regret that our efforts were simply not enough this time. This is clearly a disappointing moment." Disappointing for who? This is the thing. Who is it disappointing for? It's disappointing for the 320 million. Wait a minute. So the estimate is 320 million souls live in what we call America. So top 5% actually run the show. What's the math on that? Hunk of letter 5, 15 into 16 million. 15, let's just round it off. The 15 million people that are running the show, our elite ruling masters, there's probably more, though. I got to bump that number up to maybe 10%. Okay, so to the 30 million or so that are either in the employ or are by proxy or by 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon in the employ of the federal monstrosity in some way, shape, or form, nothing is wrong with the world today. Nothing's wrong with how they get their medical services delivered to them. Nothing's wrong with how they pay for them. You know, they light money on fire and send it over to Aetna or Cigna or Blue Cross or United or whoever. The Aflac duck. Aflac! These people's incomes are sufficient, even if they didn't have the insurance. How much do you need for the double knee replacement, boob and nose job? Two and a quarter? Pfft, chump change. Just bill me. I'll write you a check when we're finished. The United States, ladies, gentlemen, is very methodically, if you're paying attention, you see this, but very surely transforming into a what George Mason said it would turn into, the founding father George Mason, a corrupt, oppressive oligarchy. So it's just you can watch the divide. There are those that are ruling, and there are those that are ruled. I read something that was along these lines interesting yesterday. I'm trying to remember where I read it at. That what the real issue, or what's really going on out there in the minds of most Americans, is they don't like being told what to do. Nobody likes being told. I know what I read it in Joseph Pierce's book. It was a quote from Schumacher, the author of Small is Beautiful, Economics as if Individuals Matter, that people don't like having six bosses like Peter Gibbons has in the movie Office Space. And now in a vocational field, people don't resent, or most people don't resent authority, some authority. Because there is a sense of there's a familial sense there. You don't resent the authority of someone who is your boss in a small business in the same way most people, especially those who are trying to live the faith, don't resent the authority of their father. You know, when your father says don't go over to that house, or don't do this, or don't do that. When you're a child, especially if you're a respectful one and you were raised correctly, you don't ask questions. You just do it. If you don't, you fall out of line and you get the stick on the behind, or however the discipline is meted out. So when McConnell says this is a disappointment, it's not a disappointment for him. If he needs health care, he's going to go down the street, he's going to get it. And it's not going to matter what it costs. You know, this is the other part of this. Well, all Americans are due quality care. Does quality care mean that if a procedure is available, that the procedure must then be available to all? Let's just say that there is a chance that a life-saving procedure can be performed on someone who is in a state of, in a terminal state, being prepared to die. But there is a procedure. Oh, but wait. It costs X. Our view is that because it's there, that it ought to be available to everyone. And that everyone ought to have access to that. Well, at some point in time, someone has to pay to develop these things, and has to be paid to perform them. You get the picture here. In my estimation, the only way that you can possibly have any kind of a delivery system that could possibly meet that kind of insatiable appetite for its market, and as humans, we are all consumers of medical services, right? Some point in time, you're going to stub your toe, you're going to break a bone, you're going to cut, you're going to get something cut, you're going to have a disease, you're going to need an inoculation against the disease, et cetera, et cetera. The only way, we talked about this yesterday, the only way possible that's even conceivable that you can deliver this, or that you could have a delivery mechanism that would satisfy that, is if it's voluntary, if it's charitable. and that everything is not driven by the dollar or the cents attached to it. That's the only thing. Now, that may sound pie in the sky and, Mr. Church, please, that's altruistic. You don't really believe that. That can't. Well, that's how medical services were meted out for two millennia until humans, man, decided that, you know what? We can do this better than God. That's really, you know, this is really a microcosm of the rejection of the faith. It really is. This mushrooming debacle that is going to cost many people their lives because they're not going to be cared for. This thing is going to collapse. It really is, if we were to analyze this and look at it, think about it. It really is just a metaphor or a nice allegory, if you will, of the United States' rejection of the faith, rejection of the correct order, rejection of the authority, the teaching authority, and the ruling authority of Almighty God Himself. That's really what it is. Because at one time, this was not a problem. We could spend an entire day on this. If you go to my website at MikeChurch.com, and as a matter of fact, it may be a good endeavor, a good time to do this for me to do this. And you go and into a search box, and you type in, here, I'll do it. I don't even have to do it. Yeah, there. Type in Franklin Pierce, the president, in 1844, I want to say. Pierce's presidency is not a remarkable one. Most people wouldn't even know that, or don't even know that there was a president named Franklin Pierce. Mr. Church, please, who is Franklin Pierce? Well, I think it's a fair question. Franklin Pierce was one of the last of the useful and effective little R Republicans, as we call them, here on this show. And there was a bill that came in front of the Congress, and it was repealed, or it was repealed. It was up for debate, and at the time it was up for debate, the Senate had passed it. Then it went over to the House, or the House had passed it. It went over to the Senate, and while it was over there during the debate, Pierce sent a note over to the House saying, if you pass this thing, I'm going to veto it. So don't pass it. And the House basically said, well, who do you think you are? And, of course, Pierce was the president. And he said, well, I'm the defender of the Constitution. This is when constitutions were worthy, when the Constitution was worthy of being defended, you see. And so the House went and passed it anyways. And they sent it over to Pierce, and he vetoed it. Now, the reason I bring it up is because in his veto message is one of the finest expressions of how the Republican, with a lowercase r, system or constitution government is supposed to function, what it can do and what it can't do. Here it is. I found it. Apparently, in the migration, the search button. It's at the top right-hand corner. I see it. President Franklin Pierce's veto of the 1854 version of Obamacare. I wrote this back in 2013. Listen to this. The bill entitled, if you think that conservatives conspiring to run national health care or health care schemes is a product of 20th century thinking, you're wrong. This goes all the way back to the 1840s. The bill entitled An Act Making a Grant of Public Lands to the Several States for the Benefit of Indigent Insane Persons. And I'll briefly explain that what Congress was trying to do was build a federally financed insane asylum that the people in the several states could ship their wackos off to. That's what they were trying to do. Which was presented to me on the 27th. Ultimo has been maturely considered and is returned to the Senate, the House in which it originated, with a statement of the objections which have required me to withhold it from my approval.